This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gwen and Chris starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Here we go at 4 o'clock. Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Hope you enjoyed our countdown this week. Stuff from the world of sports we miss. There's a story on ESPN right now that we might soon be missing Scraby, the chain gang. In the National Football League. You know, the guys who stand on the sidelines and hold the poles to signify whether it's a first down.
You mean the cute old men that run around the field?
The cute old men. Be careful who you call old.
Well, these guys are definitely old.
But you're right. I think you have to at least be 75 to even qualify to be a member of the chain gang.
This is true.
Has anybody ever seen a young chain gang guy?
No.
I never have either.
We've gotten more injuries on chain gang guys over the years.
Don't ever recall seeing a young, spry chain gang guy. I also don't ever recall seeing a chain gang gal.
That is hilarious.
Have you ever seen a chain gang gal? I mean, you're starting to get some.
One, but I wouldn't doubt if they had
starting
someone.
To get some women officials in the National Football
League. There's a lot of women
quite
officials.
A few of them. So why not a chain gang woman? But whoever she is, she better hurry up if she wants to be on the chain gang, because they're talking about the whole chain gang going away.
What are they?
The NFL is going to be testing new technology that signals a first down. By placing something in the ball, right?
Yeah, well, I think
so,
that's what's going to happen here.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. It's going to finally happen. They've got that technology to determine whether the ball is over the line or not. So what do you need the chain gang for? I mean, I love the chain gang. Come on. Gotta have them.
It is really strange that in 2024, we're so much on the line, we're using two sticks with a little chain in between, but I still love it.
It is. That is something that has never improved, right? They had that same chain gang in 1958.
Yes.
And here we are, 70 years later, still got it.
There's like the old guy who runs out to the middle. He's like,
oh, yeah, the referee. Well, and then the players have to jump over the chain so they don't get tripped up. Anyway, it'll be kind of a bygone product, it looks like, of the National Football League.
That's very sad.
I know. I'm saddened as well. Very saddened by that. Chris Ello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. He'll be back with us for the Big Five. Coming up soon, Scraby is here. He's ready to host.
Wait,
today's
hold on, I'm sorry.
Edition of Chris versus the Fans, but before
I
we get to that.
I have to throw this in before we move on from the chain game, but
what
are we going to do about the drama of a measurement during a game?
There won't be one.
There is so much drama in a measurement. Watching them run on the field and then extend the thing.
I know. I love it.
Wow.
Gene's territory with the credit card. Remember that?
Slipped the credit card between the ball and the three by five card.
Whatever, index card.
Yes, an index card.
It wasn't
card.
A credit card. It wasn't his Diners Club card. No, it was a credit card.
Gene's territory has a Diners Club card.
Anyway, yeah. Right. No, I'm serious. The chain gang may be going away. So get your if you, like I said, if you're a woman who wants to be like the first ever woman chain gang member,
you need to get on it now.
You better get on that quickly. All right, now we'll go to today's round of Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
This hour, 97.3 The Fan, is brought to you by San Diego County Fair. Share your memories from the 50s to the 90s. Let's go retro. The photo contest at the San Diego County Fair. Your winning photo could win best of show and a VIP fair access package, plus a $500 Visa or Diner Club gift card. Entry deadline is June 9th. Learn more at sdfair.com. I believe the fair gets underway next Wednesday. Coming up right now, your opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st. That show features Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall. Funny guys. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com. Or you can win a pair by beating me in Chris versus the Fans. I think there's one phone line available right now for all of those who you say, I never can get through. Oh. By the time I said that, it's too late. Once one contestant goes, fill that line, get your opportunity. Scraby, tell them what they got to do when they get on the air.
You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you're a first-time player, let us know before the first question. You get that one for free today. All right, let's start with Noah. Hello, Noah.
Hey, how's it going? Can you hear me?
I can. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, just driving home from work.
Take your time, Noah. Relax.
You're on the parking lot out there somewhere?
Yeah, we'll get you there.
Yep, we'll get you there.
All right, here we go. Question number one. What Mets pitcher was nicknamed Thor?
Syndergaard.
Syndergaard is correct.
I would expect that Noah would know that.
Why?
Yeah.
Syndergaard's name was Noah.
Oh, duh. I didn't even put it together. I'm a little slow over here.
Yes, you are. That's why I'm here to point
Thank
out
you.
Such things.
Thank yeah. you. All right, we have one of those questions that's going to give you names, and then you tell me what team they all played on together.
Oh, crap.
Tyler Wade, Starlin Castro, Todd Frazier. What team did they play for?
Tyler Wade?
Starlin Castro, Todd Frazier.
Is it the Yankees?
Yankees, he says.
Wow.
Got it.
Nice job.
Yes.
Yeah. Tyler Wade was a Yankee. I knew that. I did not know that.
That was the only reason why I got it.
That's
why
I put it in there.
Did not know that Starlin Castro his way to the Yankees.
Fun fact, Chris, I saw Starlin Castro in Cincinnati on his major league debut hit a home run.
All right. So there you go. That's a fun fact.
Well, Starlin Castro, according to the Midwest people, was going to be the next great player of all time. So.
Okay.
All right, Noah, let's go on
Noah's
to question
number three. Noah's on to the finale
here. Yes. All right. What manager preceded Mike Schilt as St. Louis Cardinals manager? What manager preceded Mike Schilt as St. Louis Cardinals manager?
Very interesting.
Man, I don't think I know this one. All right, I don't even have a guess.
Okay, good. Because then you don't give Chris hints.
I think I know this one, though.
You do?
Yeah, I remember this guy. I think Mike Matheny.
Mike Matheny is correct.
Sorry, Noah.
That was a good game
Yeah, good run, though, Noah. Enjoy your ride home. Take it easy. We'll get you there.
Yes. Matheny, yes, was the manager.
Yeah, Mike Matheny was a pretty good little manager, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know.
Back in the day.
What happened,
he was there for quite a while.
Yeah, he was.
Won two or three division titles. I think he got to a World Series, if I'm not mistaken.
Mike Matheny? It was the year after the Giants won in 2010.
Mm. He came in and replaced La Russa after
there
La Russa started going full time to the buffet at the Hall of Fame.
Oh my God! What?
It's all I remember is when we were at the Hall of Fame and I walked into that one room and there was this huge buffet.
Oh my gosh, I forgot.
Yeah, and La Russa was in there just piling it on the plate.
And the people were like, hey, this isn't ready yet. They were
right.
Still had the plastic on top
of it.
That's
right. They just kind of had the food out. LaRusso was like, I ain't waiting around.
I totally forgot about that. Chris and I are just standing there like,
and
what
is
happening?
Just like, he is like, I don't know what this is, but I'm having a whole heap of
it. And he would remove the plastic wrap,
scoop it,
and these people were like, what is this guy doing?
It was LaRusso, man.
That is hilarious. That is an unlocked memory I just had right now. It's a good one.
All right,
let's go to Alex next.
Good
Alex,
try there
up.
By Noah. Let's see what Alex comes up with.
Hello, sir.
Hey, happy Friday.
Hey,
happy
good
Friday.
To have you with us, Alex. Happy
Here we
Friday
go.
To you.
Question number one. What Pirates pitcher threw the fastest pitch of the season yesterday?
Oh, tough one.
Sorry?
Oh, I think he said Skeens.
Oh, Skeens.
Paul Skeens. You tricked him, man. You tricked him.
How did I trick him? We just
Because nobody about knows that Aroldis Chapman's on the Pirates anymore.
We just talked about it.
Didn't we talk
I'm not,
about it?
I'm
did
not
we talk about
Alex.
It on the air?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we talked about that off
the Tony
air.
Brought it up, that they put up his video?
Yeah. Aroldis Chapman Alex. Still throwing the fastest pitch in baseball all these years later.
Yeah,
sorry,
104
Alex.
Yesterday. Which is ridiculous.
Skeens is up, 102 or 3, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he could hit 104 if he wanted to.
I remember
to.
When, like, a single 100-mile-per-hour pitch
was, like, amazing.
Stopped the presses. You know what I mean? Now it's kind of every team has one or two guys to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, all right, let's go to our next contestant. We
I
are
love
gonna
when
go...
Don Orsillo, by the way, says, here's the pitch by Suarez. A hundo.
He says
I love
that?
When he calls it a hundo. When he gets to 100, he...
I need to. I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
I
love
have
that.
To for
love
that.
When Orsillo says a hundo.
Hundo.
Mark Grant also uses that term.
All right. Mark Grant was on Awful Announcing's Twitter last night for his reaction to the end of the game last night.
What was his reaction? I didn't see. I was
at
the game.
Let's pull it up. And
Do
we'll
you have it?
Well, it's on the Twitter.
Really?
Yes.
He wasn't pleased. Nobody could have been pleased, though. I mean, it was a pretty bad call by the home plate ump. And I'm like, you know, I don't want the robo-umps. I get, you know, a close pitch. You got to be swinging. But to take the game out of Cronenworth's hands like that, that was a really, really bad miss by that ump last night.
It was. Hold on. I'm going to find it.
You got Mark Grant's reaction to it?
I'm going to find it. Here it is. Padres announcer. Brutal. Horrible.
Oh.
All right. Here's the clip from...
Let's hear Mudcat.
Padres TV.
Strike three call. And that ends the ball game, and that was not close to being a strike.
Brutal. Close.
Atta boy, Mudcat. You tell him.
Like Schilt out there arguing that.
He goes on. He goes
this
on some
game
more.
Is over.
Yeah, Mike Schilt got thrown out of the game for doing that after the game was over.
I guess he goes on to say something else, but yeah. So
yeah, Mudcat, I think you're on point. I mean, you know, we don't want to be too bad of homers, and none of us do. But I mean, when you miss a call that bad at that juncture, the final strike of the game. I can totally get Mudcat's reaction. I had a similar reaction. And did I tweet that out a couple of weeks ago?
What?
I think I did. Mudcat Grant, his impression of 1990s era baseball home plate umpires and the way they signal strike
you didn't
calls.
You told me before.
I got to tweet it again. It is the funniest video I've ever seen. I love that video, Mudcat, if you're out there. He imitates all these old umpires, and he
funny.
Is spot on, like right on it. I'll get it and tweet it out to people so they can see it. At Chris LOSD, if you're looking
yes,
for it.
Yes, we're going to that was poorly timed by me, but it was funny, so we're going to go with it because we're running out of time.
Oh, let's we have another. We're in the middle of our game.
Yes. Let's go to Rudy.
Forgot about that.
Hello, Rudy.
What's up, Rudy?
Hi, guys. Hi, guys. I hope it's an easy one. I've been out of town for 10 days, so...
That means we'll make them harder, I believe.
Yeah. Here we go, Rudy. Question number one.
No.
What is Charlie Sheen's character's nickname in the movie Major League? Or, I'm sorry, not nickname. His name.
I think that's an easy one.
I never saw the movie.
No, too bad for you.
All right,
Rudy.
I'll even give it to you like this. Do you know
You're
the
giving
nickname?
Him another one?
Do you know the nickname?
No, I really don't. I never saw the movie.
He doesn't know anything about it. Rudy, too bad. Well, it is. It's just one of those questions that he's not aware of. I think Wild Thing is what we're looking for.
Well, no, what's his name?
Oh.
His given name.
I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I just remember him being Wild Thing.
His given name?
Charlie Sheen. Oh, Rudy, you're still alive.
Wow, that's incredible, I gotta say. Ricky Vaughn.
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Vaughn.
I just remember Wild Thing.
Okay.
So that's good for you. That's good for you.
Yeah. Rudy.
Rudy.
All right, Rudy, you're still there somehow, some way.
Yeah,
but here it is.
Still in the
question
game.
Number two. What San Francisco Giant was nicknamed Kung Fu Panda? I don't know if
Rudy's...
I'm sorry?
I don't know.
Okay, he doesn't
know. Nah, too bad. Okay, this one I know.
Yeah?
Pablo Sandoval.
All right, tiebreaker. Who's our guy today, Chris?
Blue Moon Odom.
Excuse me?
Yeah, that's right. Former pitcher for the Oakland A's, had one of the great nicknames of all time, John, but he went by Blue Moon Odom.
Okay.
O-D-O-M.
All right.
Look up Blue Moon, and you'll find him.
John Blue Moon.
Don't look up the John. I think that'll throw you off. I think he's only under Blue Moon.
Oh, in Baseball Reference, he is Blue Moon.
I know. That's who he is, Blue Moon Odom.
All right,
he's our guy
13
today.
13 years, too.
13 years in the big leagues,
yes.
Mostly with the A's, if
All
I
right.
recall.
We'll go to our first contestant for the tiebreaker. Let's go to Miguel. Miguel, are you there?
Hello, Miguel.
Hello?
Hello, Miguel, are you there?
There he is.
I'm here.
All right. I'm going to ask Chris a question, and you're going to guess whether or not his answer is actually higher or lower than what the actual answer is. I didn't explain that well, but I don't care.
Well, he'll get it.
All right, Chris, let's go with how many strikeouts did he have in his career?
In how many years? 13?
13.
He had 100 per year, 1,300 strikeouts for Blue Moon Odom.
1,300 strikeouts. Miguel, is the actual answer higher or lower?
That's got to be lower. Let's go lower.
Lower, he says. Thank you!
Yay, Miguel, a win
Save
right out of the
me.
Gate. That a boy.
All right.
Good job. How many strikeouts did he have?
A lot less than you think. 857.
Oh, come on, Blue Moon. Get with it.
I guess he only pitched one inning in 1965.
Oh, well, that was part of the problem. All right, very good for you, Miguel. Stay on the line.
Stay there.
You are today's winner of Chris vs. the Fans. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I got something on the Padres that you are flat out not going to even believe is possible at this point. I'll explain after traffic. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 4:26 is the time. Chrisella, Cunningham Jr. at Petco Park. He and Jesse have the call tonight. Padres try to get things turned around. Taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks, Michael King on the hill for the Friars. 5:30, Sam Levitt, EcoWater SoCal Padre pregame show. God, I got to tell you, Scraby, last night I'm in the press box. I'm not name dropping.
Yes, you are.
But I got to sit with Sammy Levitt for like five innings.
Whoa.
I got to tell you, it was hilarious sitting with this guy. He is so funny.
Can you tell everyone how busy he is during the game? He's got highlighters going everywhere. He's got three computers in front of him.
Yeah, he's it's really, you know, it's taken pre and post game show to a whole new level.
It has.
Sam Levitt.
Yeah, it really
is. But sitting with him watching a ball game, and I just it was a kick. I must tell you, it's a real kick.
Well,
and I will tell
you this,
and I'm going to tell you about Sam Levitt, something you did not know.
I think I know where you're going.
No, you don't.
Okay.
He is Mr. Negative. He always thinks the worst thing's going to happen to the Padres.
Well, I think that's everybody.
I know.
There.
I think that's everybody now, the way they're playing. But, yeah, I was like, Sam, cheer it up. Come on. We're going to come back and win this game. I don't know.
You know, Sam has to actually be at every single game.
He's
there.
He's seen it all. But anyway, that was a lot of fun last night, hanging out with Sammy.
I was going to bring up the fact that it seems like every time you go to a game, Sam ducks you.
He normally does, but last night he was in the press box and he did not run the other way when he saw me.
That's
good. That's a step in the right direction. All right, here's the thing about the Padres that you're not going to believe. It's pretty simple, actually. But you are going to find it hard to believe. If the playoffs were to start today, the Padres would still be in it. Right? How about that?
What position are they?
They'd be the last wild card, but they are in. Right now, the Padres are two games under 500, 32 and 34. We know they've lost five in a row. We know the sky is falling. But they are still in the playoffs right now. They are currently a half game ahead of the Reds, Diamondbacks, Giants, and Cardinals. They're a half game ahead of all of them, and they're one game ahead of the Pirates. So the good news is they'd be in. The bad news is they're one or so games away from falling into 11th place in the National League.
I hope Mike Schilt tells them this before the game, because I think they need to know something like that. I think that's motivation. I'm being serious.
You guys win tonight or you could be 11th. Let's go.
I was listening to the Mike Schilt interview earlier with Bennett Woods, and he's a positive guy, and I'm not going to take that away from him at all. I'm a positive person too, kind of, sort of. Like, in certain things,
I'll let that go.
I'm a positive person when it doesn't affect me personally. If it affects me personally, I'm a very negative person. But I think at some points, being overly positive as a positive person, Chris, can be a detriment, because you're not opening your eyes to some of the issues that may be going on. And
the only thing I'm going to say in defense of Mike Schilt, and I don't know for sure because I'm not in the locker room, but the message he gives to you, the message he gives to the media, might be entirely different than the one he gives to his team.
He alluded to that today.
So, you know, he likes to keep things, you're right, sunny side of the street.
Which is
But
fine.
That's to the media and to the fans.
Yeah.
Maybe to the players. He gets in there and says, you guys suck. He might.
He may. You
we don't know.
Because he does say that he says things behind closed doors that he would never say to us. And
I think that's probably true.
But I have I don't know why I want to hear Mike Schilt say the team stinks, but I do.
I know you do.
I don't know why.
You've been after this for a while.
And it's not going to happen.
Here's what I wonder. What if Mike Schilt were suddenly transformed into being the manager of the Chicago White Sox?
Oh, you want to talk about a terrible
Could he
place.
Find a sunny side of the street there? Did you know? I didn't know this till this morning because I really don't keep an eye on the White Sox. They have lost an all-time franchise record.
Mm-hmm.
And the White Sox have been playing baseball since before 1900.
Yeah.
They have lost an all-time record 14 in a row. Yikes.
I think they lost 14-2 yesterday in that 14 in a row.
In their 14th loss in a row.
Did you see what...
And they started the season 0-9, you remember?
I know,
it was the Marlins, actually, who were really bad at the beginning, but so were the White Sox.
It was the battle for them, for
The
sure.
White Sox started the season, 2-15. They started the season 3-22, and yet now with a 14-game losing streak, they've managed to even top all of that bad play.
Did you see Ozzie Guillen the other day? This was floating around. Maybe we'll have to pull it up for later, but he was like, I'm a White Sox fan. Like, I'm not just paid to be here. I'm paraphrasing. I'm putting myself through torture being a fan of this team right now.
Right now, they've lost 14 in a row, 18 of their last 19 games. Mm-hmm. Tonight, Garrett Crochet pitches for the White Sox.
Is he in my lineup?
Against the Red Sox.
Is he in my lineup?
Well, you better hurry up and get him in there because, God forbid.
Oh, he's in.
He might pick up a win, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, I got three pitchers. I got Michael King, Justin Steele, and Garrett Crochet.
Big night for you in the fantasy world. Mm-hmm. Big night for us. Next with the Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get right into it. And we do have a bright spot from the last couple of days that we need to point out. Right, why didn't it turn off? There it goes.
Number five.
Fernando Tatis Jr., last night, it ended during the game, but he had at one point 8 straight hits combined from his last game Wednesday and then into last night. So, Chris, you're up first on this one. 8 straight hits ties a Padres record. How impressive is that to you in today's game?
It's very impressive. It's a much tougher used to be because he probably got those 8 straight hits against 5 or 6 different pitchers. You go back to his 4-for-4 game in Anaheim, and then he had a hit in his last at bat in the previous game, and then 3-for-3 last night. 8 in a row is really good. Now, it's also a bit arbitrary when you consider the fact that one of the Padre record holders is Tony's dad, which leads you to believe that it's really difficult to do. But one of the other record holders for the Padres is Kevin Kuzmanoff, which leads you to believe that maybe there's a little luck involved. You know, the all-time record is 12, so he was closing in on that.
And who was that?
It was held. You're only asking me because I tweeted this out last night and
thought he made up names.
You were incredulous. The two names who hold that record are Walt Dropo and Pinky Higgins, the long-lost relative of Ben Higgins, I guess.
That's so...
But that happened a long, long time ago. So, I mean, it's held up in the record books for forever. I think it's a pretty impressive, you know, record. 8's pretty good.
Tony, Fernando, 8 straight hits. How impressive is that to you?
First, I can't let you slander my former teammate Kuzmanoff like that.
I'm sorry.
That was a left field.
I think we should use Ben's relative as the example and the other gentleman.
Yeah, Dropo.
Yeah, Dropo.
I think we should use those two as the example.
Okay.
No, 8 straight hits is tough. It's certainly tough. Tougher now, I would say, than it has been in the past. I think it was Kuzmanoff did it twice. Brian Giles did it. My pops, and there was one other name I can't think of right now. They all have done it in a Padre uniform. So
yeah, it's good.
It's a pretty difficult feat to pull off. Plus, I think the other bonus is just further confirmation that Fernando is in the middle of going off, and we haven't even necessarily seen the homers yet to go with it, but. My man is collecting a lot of hits right now.
Man, it was all predicted a week ago by one Tony Gwynn Jr. Now we just need Tony Gwynn Jr. to look into his crystal ball and see the Padres as a team getting hot, and everything will be all right.
He said that's all I got, dog.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have anything else. There's nothing in there, unfortunately. It's too bad.
Oh, that is really funny. But, Tony, you did call it, so we're going to pat you on the back as many times as we can.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, USA Today, I usually agree with the rankings that they have out there. They rank Petco Park as the best baseball park in America. Well, they rank the NFL head coaches, and no surprise, Andy Reid was number one. Who do you think was number two?
Who do I think was number two?
Yeah,
I have
right
absolutely
at you.
No idea. I it pains me. Well, I would pick...
I think he's. This is a question because he. It's
yes,
not
I
his
know.
Guy.
I know. It's not his guy. I think your guy deserves, you know, consideration. And your guy being Shanahan.
Yes. Number two, Chris. Who do you think it is?
I would pick Mike Tomlin.
Oh, it's a guy for Philly.
But you know, I don't know who it actually is. So that's that
Nick
would be
Sirianni
my...
is your guess, Tony?
That's my guess.
Who'd they go with?
They went with Sean McVay, the Rams head coach.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Tony says, that's
yeah,
not
Tony
so bad.
Likes it. I
Chris
don't
says,
like it too much.
I don't necessarily like it. I could see it.
Yeah, he's got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he does.
But,
he does. You know. Mike Tomlin, number three. Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, Tomlin's three. Yeah, so, okay.
Kyle Shanahan, number four. Matt LaFleur. Number five.
Nah, he's a little high.
I think that's real high.
Yeah.
Tony,
did you look at the bottom of the list for fun?
I can pull it up.
I love the bottom of the list.
What is your question?
It's going to be, do you agree with that list?
No, not necessarily, but I could, those four, I'm cool in that spot, right? I'll give Andy the top spot, but I think you could make an argument that you can juggle those four as long as those are the four. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I would put anybody else in that four. I think there's an argument to be made that you can juggle around two, three, and four, depending on, you know, who you like a little bit more. But I don't mind those first four.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, like I said, I'd go Tomlin two. I'd probably put your guy three. I'd probably drop McVay down because he just annoys me. Just the look on his face annoys me. I don't know what it is.
He did almost quit on
his
team.
Does he have a punchable face?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Oh,
and
yes.
Just the fact that, you know, him winning the Super Bowl confirmed to him what he already knew, and that was that
greatest.
He's great. Yeah. So I'm never a fan of those guys, but, you know, that's a pretty good list. I mean, football coaches don't last all that long, you know? I mean, you get find somebody that's been in the game for 7-8 years. That's why Tomlin has to be up there, just because of his longevity and his consistent winning. But yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, the funny thing is I still talk about this with Andy Reid. If you go back 15 years when he was midst of losing all those championship games with the Eagles, there never was a coach who got more criticism than Andy Reid.
It's
and now he's the unquestioned best coach, you know, in football. So it's kind of
funny
how the narrative changes.
Super Bowls do for you.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. The last ranked coach on their list, poor guy, Dennis Allen of the Saints.
Dennis Allen of the Saints is last.
Yeah.
Who joins him down there.
This is their little blurb. It starts with this. Dennis Allen is the head coaching version of sitting on a whoopee cushion.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That is heavy and harsh at
that's
the same
pretty
time.
Harsh.
Matt Eberflus, number 31.
Yeah, he's going to be a contender until further notice for that.
All right. Kevin O'Connell, 13.
All right. Good for Kevin.
Is that bad?
That's
where
he belongs
in the top half.
Number three.
The trial against the NFL has gotten started, everybody. If you didn't hear about this, the NFL is in an antitrust class action lawsuit against the NFL over the Sunday ticket package. Now, stick with me. This is a lot of legal stuff that I do not understand, but I read it like 100 times. During opening statements, attorney Amanda Bond showed jurors a 2020 term sheet from Fox in which the company asked the NFL to ensure that Sunday ticket would be priced above $293.96, which was the fee in 2020, during the 11-year term that began in 2023. So to sum it up, the free channels that are paying to air the games wanted to make sure that the Sunday ticket price was high enough that it would keep people from buying it and keep them on their stations.
Okay.
So to sum all that up, the NFL could be facing $21 billion in damages. $7 billion, actually. And then the law, I guess, states that you...
Three times as much.
Three times. $21 billion,
really.
Yeah. And in turn, the NFL Sunday ticket will be cheaper and even possibly do what the Padres did, and you subscribe to a team to watch them. So, Chris, is the NFL Sunday ticket a scam in your eyes? Because that's what they're saying here.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying here. I don't think it's not a scam in my eyes. I mean,
right, because we like it.
We like it. We know it. I mean, I don't have it. But
doesn't it make you angry that it's more expensive than it needs to be?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm kind of confused.
No, it's cheaper than it needs to be. The Fox people want it to be more expensive so that fewer people can buy it.
But they have to price it at that.
Well, I don't know about all of that. What I do know is that, you know, anything that keeps the NFL games off of streaming for the rest of my life, I'm going to support. So that means I'm going to support Sunday Ticket. I'm going to support Fox. I'm going to support CBS and ESPN and everything that I can get to with my cable box. You know, that's my own personal way of thinking. Now, as far as $21 billion is concerned, that would, you know, that might actually make a dent in the NFL's, stranglehold on the world. But I don't think a judgment will never be for that kind of money that, you know, I mean, they might give them for a billion, which would I don't think it would be much of an effect.
Tony, what do you think? Is this?
Can you give that to me again? So Fox is being, NFL is being sued.
So here's what the evidence, the NFL's in a class action lawsuit by... I honestly,
consumers?
I guess the TV stations, the TV networks that carry the games for free.
I told you this was complicated.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure it out.
The TV networks that carry it for free
want to make sure that people can't just get DirecTV easily.
Yeah, and so they have to stay on their local
stations.
So they want
DirecTV to charge higher.
Yes, so that people are forced into watching on their local station to give them the ratings.
Because if everybody had DirecTV, nobody would watch games on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay, so these stations or channels sued the NFL to make sure that DirecTV doesn't drop the price below a certain amount.
I think it may be consumers. I'm not sure.
All right.
Okay. On behalf of the consumer.
Yes.
And so you're asking me.
I'm asking you, do you think that NFL Sunday Ticket is a scam in your eyes because it's being priced at a certain point so that it's so high, if you want to pay, you have to pay an exorbitant amount. And then if it's too low, or, you know what I'm saying. This is so confusing.
I don't know what you're saying, but...
Here's the deal. So to answer your question, do I think it's a scam? I mean, it's probably a scam. Anytime you're suing someone else to charge higher so that the consumer has to pay more, it just...
I don't think it's the TV stations because the TV this was evidence that was brought yesterday showing that there is bad faith negotiating amongst consumers.
Now you're just confusing the issue.
Whoever's suing is suing on the behalf of the consumers.
I think so. Yes, I'm
fair enough. Let's just believe that and move forward here because
it's
way too confusing.
This is a tough one. I guess yes, it's a scam. I guess if you're suing someone to make sure the prices stay high,
yeah,
that seems seems kind of a racket to me. I don't know.
Racket, I love
the one thing I like that you mentioned in there was the notion or possibility that maybe at some point the NFL will only charge you to watch the team you want to watch. That is something I would pay for.
The NBA does that.
Right,
with
their
the
pass. NBA does that. Yeah. I would love the NFL to do that because I don't want to buy the direct ticket because I don't really want to watch the Saints Falcons game. But
yeah. You should be you honestly should be able to pick how many.
Yeah.
Like, if I want to watch three teams. I should
be
able to pay
for
those three teams.
That there would be a great call. Then you're getting what you're paying for.
All right, here I found a paragraph from an article. Let me give them credit. Spectrum News, New York One. In a class action lawsuit dating back to December 2015, the plaintiffs representing millions of residential and commercial subscribers to the NFL Sunday Ticket package, then available, argued the league's 32 teams joined forces to agree to a multi-billion dollar package that eliminated competition and drove up prices for football fans.
Okay. That makes
sense. Wish I would have read that earlier.
But it also happened in, what did you say, 2015?
It's been going on since then, yeah.
Yeah, so it's 9 years old, which means the NFL will at least be able to drag this through the court for another 19 years.
That also means whoever brought this suit's got money to keep going for what now?
Yeah, that's a fair
9 years.
Right?
Yeah, that is a lot of.
Yeah,
money.
I think it's a racket. I think at some point they think it's all a racket.
Tony's use of racket in this case. It's my favorite word you could be using.
It's either that or a fugazi.
It feels like it should be used.
Could be a fugazi.
All right, let's move on to another NFL topic.
Number two,
and Josh Jacobs is now with the Packers. He's no longer with the Raiders, and he is headed to Brazil to open the season against the Eagles. And the NFL has told teams something kind of strange about their trip out there. So here is Josh Jacobs on Chris Long's podcast.
They said that the part of Brazil we go into, you can't even wear green at.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
they said, like, I guess something to do with the gangs and stuff.
Oh, dude, I'm not going.
They said, we're not going to Rio. They told us, they was like, man, it's one of them places where they probably won't even let us leave.
A full team.
Oh, damn, I'm not going, dude. No.
Eagles and Green.
What color green? And they probably going to have, like, armored vehicles following us around. I said, bro, why are we out here?
It's not a bad call.
The most ironic thing of this all is that it's the Eagles and the Packers, two teams featuring a lot of green in their uniform. But, Tony, should the NFL be playing in a country where they are afraid of wearing green?
No. I mean, that's just plain and simple, right? Like, man, like, if that is actually true, right? I have no reason to believe Josh Jacobs went on this podcast and just made this up.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little strange that you're going to a place that basically the team that wears one of the colors that you can't wear. That's all they wear. So they're wearing their white uniforms, Tony. I assume.
Both teams wear green. The Eagles wear green, too.
That's right. Both teams do.
What are they going to wear?
I don't know.
Like, what is... I think the NFL has enough loot, as we just finished talking about, to find a place that, you know, at least the guys can go outside and, like, I don't know, maybe enjoy the country that they're going to spend a week in, I assume.
No, they're just going to sit in their hotel rooms for a week.
this is like full lockdown.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That seems a little strange.
Chris?
Yeah, the NFL can play wherever they want. So why do they choose something with this kind of
issue? Because there's a lot of people there.
But there's a lot of people everywhere.
Right. But they want to get those billions.
I know Rio's a large population, but I mean, really, if these guys are going to be in any danger, if they're going to have to drive around in armored trucks,
right. I don't know if that part was true.
That's crazy.
They said this is the type of place where you can't even wear green. I mean, that sounds pretty extreme.
Sounds really extreme. Yeah. They did have the Olympics there years ago, and nothing really too terrible.
He said it's the part of Vegas that you can't,
or the part of Brazil, yeah.
Excuse me, Vegas. Brazil.
Vegas and Brazil could be similar at times. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this. They're both going to be wearing white and changing colors for one day. All right.
Number one.
A new trend has hit the internet, and this is one that I can get behind. People are taking pictures of metallic objects and saying it's the new Tesla truck. For example,
I saw this.
For example, someone took a picture of an angled metallic trash can and said, quote, finally saw one of those new Tesla trucks, end quote. And this has been going on for a while. I've seen a ton of these. I've retweeted a ton of these. So you can go to @MattScravy if you want to see some of these. But Chris, what do you think about the Tesla truck? Hold on. This is what Chris
Give me
wanted.
A better...
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get right into it. And we do have a bright spot from the last couple of days that we need to point out. Right. Why didn't it turn off? There it goes.
Number five.
Fernando Tatis Jr., last night, it ended during the game, but he had at one point 8 straight hits combined from his last game Wednesday and then into last night. So, Chris, you're up first on this one. 8 straight hits ties a Padres record. How impressive is that to you in today's game?
It's very impressive. It's a much tougher used to be because he probably got those 8 straight hits against 5 or 6 different pitchers. You go back to his 4-for-4 game in Anaheim, and then he had a hit in his last at bat in the previous game, and then 3-for-3 last night. 8 in a row is really good. Now, it's also a bit arbitrary when you consider the fact that one of the Padre record holders is Tony's dad, which leads you to believe that it's really difficult to do. But one of the other record holders for the Padres is Kevin Kuzmanoff, which leads you to believe that maybe there's a little luck involved. you know, the all-time record is 12, so he was closing in on that.
And who was that?
It was held. You're only asking me because I tweeted this out last night, and I thought
he made up names.
You were incredulous. The two names who hold that record are Walt Dropo and Pinky Higgins, the long-lost relative of Ben Higgins, I guess.
That's so...
But that happened a long, long time ago. So, I mean, it's held up in the record books for forever. I think it's a pretty impressive, you know, record. 12 or 8's pretty good.
Tony, Fernando, eight straight hits. How impressive is that to you?
First, I can't let you slander my former teammate Kuzmanov like that.
I'm sorry.
That was a left field.
I think we should use Ben's relative as the example and the other gentleman.
Yeah, Dropo.
Yeah, Dropo.
I think we should use those two as the example.
Okay.
No, eight straight hits is tough. And certainly tougher now, I would say, than it has been in the past. I think it was Kuzmanov did it twice. Brian Giles did it. My pops, and there was one other name I can't think of right now. They all have done it in a Padre uniform. So
yeah, it's good.
It's a pretty difficult feat to pull off. Plus, I think the other bonus is just further confirmation that Fernando is in the middle of going off, and we haven't even necessarily seen the homers yet to go with it, but. My man is collecting a lot of hits right now.
Man, it was all predicted a week ago mm-hmm. by one Tony Gwynn Jr. Now mm-hmm. we just need Tony Gwynn Jr. to look into his crystal ball and see the Padres as a team getting hot, and everything will be all right.
He said that's all I got, dog.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't have anything else. There's nothing in there, unfortunately. It's too bad.
Oh, that is really funny. But, Tony, you did call it, so we're going to pat you on the back as many times as we can.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, USA Today, I usually agree with the rankings that they have out there. They rank Petco Park as the best baseball park in America. Well, they rank the NFL head coaches, and no surprise, Andy Reid was number one. Who do you think was number two?
Who do I think was number two?
Yeah,
I have
right
absolutely
at you.
No idea. It pains me. Well, I would pick...
I think this is a question because
I know. It's not his guy. I think your guy deserves, you know, consideration. And your guy being Shanahan.
Yes. Number two, Chris, who do you think it is?
I would pick Mike Tomlin.
Okay. Oh, it's a guy for Philly.
But, you know, I don't know who it actually is. So that would be
Nick Sirianni is your guess, Tony?
That's my guess.
Who'd they go with?
They went with Sean McVay, the Rams head coach.
Ah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Tony says, that's
yeah,
not
Tony
so bad.
Likes it. I don't
says,
like it too much.
I don't necessarily like it. I could see it.
Yeah, he's got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he does.
But,
he does. You know. Mike Tomlin, number three. Kyle Shanahan.
Oh, Tomlin's three. Yeah, so, okay.
Kyle Shanahan, number four. Matt LaFleur, number five.
Nah, he's a little high.
Wow, that's real high.
Yeah.
Tony.
Did you look at the bottom of the list for fun?
I can pull it up.
I love the bottom of the list.
What is your question?
It's going to be, do you agree with that list?
No, not necessarily, but I could, those four, I'm cool in that spot, right? I'll give Andy the top spot, but I think you could make an argument that you can juggle those four as long as those are the four. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think I would put anybody else in that four. I think there's an argument to be made that you can juggle around 2, 3, and 4, depending on, you know, who you like a little bit more. But I don't mind those first four.
Chris?
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, like I said, I'd go Tomlin 2. I'd probably put your guy 3. I'd probably drop McVay down because he just annoys me. Just the look on his face annoys me. I don't know what it is.
He did almost quit on his team.
Does he have a punchable face?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Oh,
and
yes.
Just the fact that, you know, him winning the Super Bowl confirmed to him what he already knew, and that
was
that
greatest.
He's great. Yeah. So I'm never a fan of those guys. But, you know, that's a pretty good list. I mean, football coaches don't last all that long. You know, I mean... You get find somebody that's been in the game for 7, 8 years. That's why Tomlin has to be up there, just because of his longevity and his consistent winning. But, yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, the funny thing is, I still talk about this with Andy Reid. If you go back 15 years when he was midst of losing all those championship games with the Eagles, there never was a coach who got more criticism than Andy Reid. And now he's the unquestioned best coach, you know, in football. So it's kind of funny how the narrative changes. Isn't that something?
Yeah. The last ranked coach on their list, poor guy, Dennis Allen of the Saints.
Dennis Allen of the Saints is last.
Yeah.
Who joins him down there?
Wow, this is their little blurb. It starts with this. Dennis Allen is the head coaching version of sitting on a whoopee cushion.
Oh, my God. Wow.
That is heavy and harsh at the same time.
That's pretty harsh.
Matt Eberflus, number 31.
Yeah, he's going to be a contender until further notice for that.
All right, Kevin O'Connell, 13.
All right, good for Kevin.
Is that bad?
That's where
he belongs. He belongs in the top half.
Number 3.
The trial against the NFL has gotten started, everybody. If you didn't hear about this, the NFL is in an antitrust class action lawsuit against the NFL over the Sunday ticket package. Now, stick with me. This is a lot of legal stuff that I do not understand, but I read it like 100 times. During opening statements, attorney Amanda Bond showed jurors a 2020 term sheet from Fox in which the company asked the NFL to ensure that Sunday ticket would be priced above $293.96, which was the fee in 2020, during the 11-year term that began in 2023. So to sum it up, the free channels that are paying to air the games wanted to make sure that the Sunday ticket price was high enough that it would keep people from buying it and keep them on their stations.
Okay.
So to sum all that up, the NFL could be facing $21 billion in damages. $7 billion, actually. And then the law, I guess, states that you...
Three times as much.
Three times. $21 billion,
really.
Yeah. And in turn, the NFL Sunday ticket will be cheaper and even possibly do what the Padres did, and you subscribe to a team to watch them. So, Chris, is the NFL Sunday ticket a scam in your eyes? Because that's what they're saying here.
Yeah, I know that's what they're saying here. I don't think it's not a scam in my eyes. I mean,
right, because we like it.
We like it. We know it. I mean, I don't have it. But
doesn't it make you angry that it's more expensive than it needs to be?
Wait, I'm sorry. I'm kind of confused.
No, it's so cheaper than it needs to be. The Fox people want it to be more expensive so that fewer people can buy it.
But they have to price it at that.
Well, I don't know about all of that. What I do know is that, you know, anything that keeps the NFL games off of streaming for the rest of my life, I'm going to support. So that means I'm going to support Sunday Ticket, I'm going to support Fox, I'm going to support CBS and ESPN and everything that I can get to with my cable box. You know, that's my own personal way of thinking. Now, as far as $21 billion is concerned, that would, you know, that might actually make a dent in the NFL's, stranglehold on the world. But I don't think a judgment will never be for that kind of money that, you know, I mean, they might give them for $1 billion, which would I don't think it would be much of an effect.
Tony, what do you think? Is this?
Can you give that to me again? So Fox is NFL's being sued.
So here's what the evidence, the NFL's in a class action lawsuit by... I honestly,
consumers? I guess the TV stations, the TV networks that carry the games for free.
I told you this was complicated.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure it out.
The TV networks that carry it for free
want to make sure that people can't just get DirecTV easily.
Yeah, and so they have to stay on their local
stations.
So they want
DirecTV to charge higher.
Yes, so that people are forced into watching on their local station to give them the ratings.
Because if everybody had DirecTV, nobody would watch games on Sunday, right?
Yes.
Okay, these stations or channels sued the NFL to make sure that DirecTV doesn't drop the price below a certain amount.
I think it may be consumers. I'm not sure.
All right.
Okay. On behalf of the consumer.
Yes.
And so you're asking me.
I'm asking you, do you think that NFL Sunday Ticket is a scam in your eyes because it's being priced at a certain point so that it's so high, if you want to pay, you have to pay an exorbitant amount. And then if it's too low, or, you know what I'm saying. This is so confusing.
I don't know what you're saying, but...
Here's the deal. So to answer your question, do I think it's a scam? I mean, it's probably a scam. Anytime you're suing someone else to charge higher so that the consumer has to pay more, it just...
No, I don't think it's the TV stations because the TV this was evidence that was brought yesterday showing that there is bad faith negotiating amongst consumers.
Now, you're just confusing
so
the issue.
Whoever's suing is suing on the behalf of the consumers.
I think so, yes.
Right. Fair enough. Let's just believe that and move forward here. Because okay. it's way too confusing.
This is a tough one. I guess, yes, it's a scam. I guess if you're suing someone to make sure the prices stay high.
Yeah.
That seems, I don't know, seems kind of a racket to me. I don't know.
Racket, I love
the one thing I like that you mentioned in there was the notion or possibility that maybe at some point the NFL will only charge you to watch the team you want to watch. That is something I would pay for.
The NBA does that.
Right, the NBA does that. Yeah. I would love the NFL to do that because I don't want to buy the direct ticket because I don't really want to watch the Saints-Falcons game. But
yeah. You should be, you honestly should be able to pick how many. Yeah. Like, if I want to watch three teams. I should be able to pay for those three teams.
That there would be a great call. Then you're getting what you're paying for.
All right, here. I found a paragraph from an article. Let me give them credit. Spectrum News, New York 1. In a class action lawsuit dating back to December 2015, the plaintiffs representing millions of residential and commercial subscribers to the NFL Sunday ticket package, then available, argued the league's 32 teams joined forces to agree to a multi-billion dollar package that eliminated competition and drove up prices for football fans.
Ah, okay. That makes
sense. Wish I would have read that earlier.
But it also happened in, what did you say, 2015?
It's been going on since then, yeah.
Yeah, so it's 9 years old, which means the NFL will at least be able to drag this through the court for another 19 years.
That also means whoever brought this suit got money to keep going for what now?
Yeah, that's a fair
9 years.
Right?
Yeah, jeez, that is a lot of.
Yeah, I
money.
Think it's a racket. I think at some point they think it's all a racket.
I love Tony's use of racket in this case. It's my favorite word you could be using.
It's either that or a fugazi. Right,
it feels like it should be used.
Could be a fugazi.
All right, let's move on to another NFL topic.
Number two,
and Josh Jacobs is now with the Packers. He's no longer with the Raiders, and he is headed to Brazil to open the season against the Eagles. And the NFL has told teams something kind of strange about their trip out there. So here is Josh Jacobs on Chris Long's podcast.
They said that the part of Brazil we go into, you can't even wear green at.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
They said, like, I guess something to do with the gangs and stuff.
Oh, dude, I'm not going.
They said, we're not going to Rio. They was like, man, it's one of them places where they probably won't even let us leave.
A full team.
Oh, damn, I'm not going, dude. Teams, no.
Eagles and Green Bay.
Oh, green.
What color green?
And they probably going to have, like, armored vehicles following us around. I said, bro, why are we out here?
It's not a bad call.
The most ironic thing of this all is that it's the Eagles and the Packers, two teams featuring a lot of green in their uniform. But, Tony, should the NFL be playing in a country where they are afraid of wearing green?
No. I mean, that's just plain and simple, right? Like, man, like, if that is actually true, right? I have no reason to believe Josh Jacobs went on this podcast and just made this up.
Mm-hmm.
It seems a little strange that you're going to a place that basically the team that wears one of the colors that you can't wear. That's all they wear. So they're wearing their white uniforms,
Tony.
I assume.
Both teams wear green. The Eagles wear green, too.
That's right. Both teams do.
What are they going to wear?
I don't know.
Like, what is... I think the NFL has enough loot, as we just finished talking about, to find a place that, you know, at least the guys can go outside and, like, I don't know, maybe enjoy the country that they're going to spend a week in, I assume.
No, they're just going to sit in their hotel rooms for a week.
This is like full lockdown.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That seems a little strange.
Chris?
Yeah, the NFL can play wherever they want. So why do they choose something with this kind of
issue? Because there's a lot of people there.
But there's a lot of people everywhere.
Right. But they want to get those billions.
I know Rio's a large population, but, I mean, really, if these guys are going to be in any danger, if they're going to have to drive around in armored trucks.
I don't know if that part was true.
That's crazy.
They said this is the type of place where, you can't even wear green. I mean, that sounds pretty extreme.
It sounds really extreme. Yeah. They did have the Olympics there years ago, and nothing really too terrible,
I don't think. But he said it's the part of Vegas that you can't.
Or the part of Brazil, yeah.
Excuse me, Vegas. Brazil.
Vegas and Brazil could be similar at times. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with this. They're both going to be wearing white and changing colors for one day. All right.
number one.
A new trend has hit the internet, and this is one that I can get behind. People are taking pictures of metallic objects and saying it's the new Tesla truck. For example,
I saw this.
For example, someone took a picture of an angled metallic trash can and said, quote, finally saw one of those new Tesla trucks, end quote. And this has been going on for a while. I've seen a ton of these. I've retweeted a ton of these, so you can go to at Matt's Gravy if you want to see some of these. But Chris, what do you think about the Tesla truck? Hold on. This is what Chris.
Give me
wanted.
A better. There you go.
There it is.
I mean, isn't that an accurate description of what they look like?
I don't know what the heck it is.
I mean, it makes me think of an armored tank, and I don't necessarily think that's the best look.
It makes you think of a tank?
It does.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if you just put a gun on the top of it,
okay,
pretty much, right. And direct, it would look identical. They're not great looking to me. I'm surprised that people are, buying them. But
me too.
That's just my
Tony.
Own
you have a Tesla, but you don't have a Tesla truck.
Not
what do
that.
You think about the Tesla truck?
I think it's the ugliest thing on this side of I don't know. Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi.
It is. It's not my thing. I see a bunch of people with them. Seen some wraps on them now.
Yeah, I've seen some wraps too, and they look better when they have a little bit of color to them.
I don't think it's a good looking car. I think it's ugly. I would not want to roll around in a tank. But I also, I wasn't also like a big fan of Hummers either when they were popular.
But you know what? Maybe they can use the Tesla trucks to drive the Eagles and Packers around.
Oh, that's a good idea, Chris. You need to be a part of the security team for them. Because
that might
work,
actually.
I did see a Tesla truck trying to climb a hill, and it got stuck and then because it couldn't get up the hill, and then it rolled backwards on itself and just rolled on its roof because, it's an angled truck. It just rolls and rolls and rolls, or I guess like slides is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, Tesla's. Yeah. I know people who love them or have them love them.
Yeah,
a la Tony, but yeah. I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
overall.
All right,
give me some gas, please.
Give me some gas. Okay. You want a two? Is that what you're saying?
Stop it!
I don't want to be compared to Dennis Allen.
I want some whoopee gas. Cushion. Yes, that's true. All right, we are going to get you set for tonight's game with the Diamondbacks and the Padres next on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.